depending again upon the Lord's help, I would again direct you to Psalm 22, reading the first two verses. The first two verses of Psalm number 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me, and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season am not silent. My dear friends, these are solemn words. They are deep words. And my dear friends, if the Lord is working in your heart, there will be those times when you will have to walk in these pathways. And I'll tell you why, that you might have fellowship with him in his sufferings. My dear friends, it is not an easy path to the flesh if we are going to partake of his sufferings in any measure. If we are going to have a cross to carry, it will not be easy to the flesh. But I can tell you this, that it will be a blessed pathway as you are enabled to venture and take up your cross, looking unto Jesus. For he knows this path. We opened up with it a solemn hymn on the sufferings of Christ. How he was despised, rejected and hated. But my friends, it made no difference. The Lord Jesus still walked in that path here below. Oh, the love of Christ to his dear people, that he should suffer, bleed and die, that wretched sinners might be saved from the pit of destruction. Do you know anything of these beauties? They are wonderful things. You might say, be very tempted. The devil might be roaring at you and say, well, you don't know nothing about these things, else you wouldn't be in the pathway you are now. For the Lord's forsaken you. My friends, the devil is a liar. Jesus was forsaken of his dear Father. You think of that, my friends. Jesus and the Father were one. They were from all eternity. But Jesus came into this experience forsaken, not only by man and his own dear people, they all forsook him and fled. We know Peter boldly drew the sword and cut off one of the servant's ear. But the Lord rebuked him, and he healed that man's ear. You see, my dear friends, these things had to be. The Lord Jesus willingly walked in them to redeem his dear people. But when the Lord Jesus was taken to the judgment hall and nailed upon the cross, all men forsook him. No man interposed for him. No man spoke up for him. The whole world rejected him. Such was the agonies that the Lord Jesus had to walk in. Forsaken. But the dear Father also hid his face because he could not look upon sin. You may say, but Jesus never sinned. Jesus never did sin. He never thought a wrong word. But my dear friends, it was the sins of his dear people that the Father looked at. They were laid upon Jesus. And so he could not look at his dear son. Forsaken. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, my dear friend, you may be in this pathway now, feeling forsaken. Well, my dear friend, I can tell you this, that if the Lord has begun his work in your heart and is dealing with you, he's brought you into this path. And I'll tell you why, that you might have some fellowship with him in his sufferings. Yes, true, real fellowship. And these paths are deep paths, paths that the flesh doesn't like. But the Lord comes and he so deals with a poor sinner. He brings him, he makes him bow at the footstool of mercy. He makes him willing. He makes him willing to suffer, to take up his cross. He brings him near to Jesus. Where are you now today in your troubles, in your afflictions, in your forsaken condition? When you feel the Lord shuts out your cries, you shout. You may be like the psalmist. You're crying in the daytime and in the night season are not silent. This may be you. Is it you? Or can you be silent and seek no more after his face? No, you say, I feel forsaken. I feel he has left me. He has not come to me. He hasn't opened a door. He shut the door. Ah, my friend, you have to be brought to the Lord's feet. And know no will but his. And you have to lean wholly upon him. And he won't forsake you, my friends. I know these pathways are very, very mysterious. I remember some years ago, if I might just mention this experience that I came into, it may be of some use to one of you here, I know not. But some years ago, I felt that I should take a path, a step in providence. I felt that there was an exercise upon my heart, and I felt at the time the Lord had put it there, and I pursued after it. And I left my job. And I thought, if this is right, the Lord will appear. But my dear friend, he brought all my schemes to nothing. He showed me that it was all the flesh. It wasn't a true exercise. And I was a fortnight out of work, daily looking up to the Lord that he would open a way. And I felt he would, but he never did. And in my desperation, I felt that I would have to arise and seek some employment. And I went to one or two places, and it seemed that the Lord, he dashed some to pieces, and then one was permitted to open. And it was only a temporary measure for 12 months, but all the teaching there was in it, and in that 12 months, but it all, my dear friends, if the Lord is with you and me, these things will be very heavy and weighty, and you will fear to touch things yourself, lest you should make a mistake, lest you should be deceived. So, my dear friend, look unto the Lord. Seek his direction. Use the means. Prayerfully. Yes, we are to use the means. Well, my friends, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? These words, I don't seem to be able to get much past them. It's such a reality. But my friends, he does not forsake you. You may feel he has, but he will not. All the times, my dear friends, that his servants have come into a pulpit not knowing what they will say, and some have even come without even a text. Ah, but the Lord appears in the time of need. You might say, but my need is ready. I need him now. Our time is ever ready, friends. But the Lord has a set time. And what we think is the right time is not always the right time. We are not quite in that right condition to receive the Lord's blessing. We perhaps are not lying prostrate on the ground before him. This is where the Lord brings his people to lie prostrate before him. They know no will but his. Lord, help me. Undertake for me. I cannot do anything. But my dear friends, we have a precious Christ that we can go to and take these things. For he has walked this pathway here below. Oh, my friends, the life of Jesus upon this earth, it was full of good. He preached the word, and when Jesus preached the word, my dear friends, that was in power. He's not like poor servants of today and all days that very often feel there's no power. I know the Lord's the judge. He knows when the power is there, for he is the power. But my friends, you know what I mean. When Jesus preached, he was the power. There was power in the ministry. He went about doing good. He blessed. He rebuked. He healed. He cast out devils. My friend, all things work together for good to them that love him. You might say, well, I can't see it now. You will see it, my dear friend, later on. The Lord doesn't always permit us to see what he is doing with us at the time. It's afterwards very often that we see his hand and see what he has done, what he has taught us. And he has said in his word, thou shalt remember all the way I have led thee these 40 years through the wilderness. Thou shalt remember. And so it is, my dear friends. We shall remember. We shall praise him. You say, what, for bringing me in this deep distress? Yes. Yes, I know you will, if the Lord is teaching and leading you. I've been there myself in deep pathways. In the past, I can well remember those pathways that he brought me to walk in. Bitter pathways. But I can look back and I can praise God for it. Because he was with me. Ah, you say, but that's the difference. Now, in my case and your case, I cannot feel he's with me now. My dear friend, when I walked in that path, I couldn't feel he was there. But I was brought to those various places when he did appear, when he helped me, when he broke down my stubborn heart. It's sweet, my friend, sometimes to look back and see the way the Lord deals with us and leads us. And sometimes, my dear friends, he brings us in these paths to lead us into the sufferings of Christ, that we might have our old nature broken down, our hard hearts melted, that we might feel something of the sufferings of Christ that he endured. Oh, my friends, if the Lord shows this to your poor soul, your sins will be hateful to you. You'll hate yourself, you'll grieve over yourself, the way you have treated him. We don't deserve his blessing. We don't deserve his touches, his helps. But he is a blessed, dear, loving Jesus, the Redeemer of his people. He doth not afflict you willingly. He does not bring us into these pathways in wrath. Not to his dear people, it is in love that he brings us into these pathways. You say, how can this be? Well, my dear friend, you'll prove. If you wait upon him and watch his hands, he'll reveal himself to you as sure as Jesus is the Redeemer. Do you read of a case in the Holy Scriptures where he sent his people, disciples or any other of his dear peoples on an errand or on a business or on a voyage, and then he brought them into storms? Did he forsake them? Do you read he forsook them and never appeared for them and never helped them? You may cry and shout now and feel he shutteth out your prayer. There is a crying and a shouting unto the Lord. My mind went to that king. You may be crying with a lamentable voice unto the Lord in your trouble, in your affliction. And there was a king who did this. I don't know that he was a godly king. I don't think he was. But he cried with a lamentable voice when he cast Daniel into the lion's den and left him there all night, him with those lions. But he couldn't go home and sleep and rest. He was in sore trouble. And very early in the morning he came to Daniel, and he cried with a lamentable voice, "Daniel, Daniel, is thy God able to deliver thee?" Oh, my friends, and you remember, oh, how he praised God. "My God is able to deliver me." He did deliver him from the very mouth of the lions. Lions, not one lion, many lions. And remember this, my dear friends, those lions were very hungry, very ravenous, very vicious. But they could not touch Daniel. The Lord's eye was upon him. You may be in a pathway. You might say, "Well, a man has been permitted to touch my pathway." But think of this. The Lord's eye is upon you. He may have something else in store for you. The Lord opens the doors and he shuts the doors for his people in providence and in spirit. It requires much faith and patience to watch and see his hand. But commit thy way unto the Lord and he shall bring it to pass. These are mysterious pathways that the Lord leads his people in. Many, I fear, today know little of these solemn, deep pathways, for they are very solemn. But if the Lord is in them, my dear friend, the day will come when you'll praise and bless his holy name that he ever led you in it. Oh, then still pray on. Don't turn back. You say, I can't. I can't give up. No, my dear friend, if you have that blessed faith the Lord has given you, like Job had when he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. That's real living faith. And the Lord's people are brought into these experiences here and there. Even in these days, they have to come right there, trust in him, though he slay me. And you'll sometimes feel you deserve all. Such are your sins, such are my sins. They stand as a mountain before us at times. And we don't deserve his rich mercy. But my dear friends, he doth not reward us according to our sins. Oh, the mercy that he shows. Oh, think of it then, my friends, of the pathway that Jesus came into, forsaken. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? You see, David was walking this out. He felt the Lord was so far off. He was crying unto the Lord. But the Lord wasn't appearing. But it didn't mean the Lord's eye wasn't upon him. The Lord had a set time to deal with David's case. And he has a set time, my dear friend, to deal with your case and my case. There's a blessed verse that came to my mind a little while ago. It's this: a time he has set to heal up your woes, a season most fit his love to disclose, until he is ready to show his good will. Be patient and steady, and wait on him still. Oh, my friends, if the Lord enables you and I to do this, you will not wait in vain. He has a set time. A set time. You see, he didn't deliver Daniel from going into the pit of lions. He could have done. But he permitted Daniel to go into the pit of lions. But he didn't forsake him. You see, this is the thing with the Lord's people. As soon as they come into these deep troubles, Satan is there, he tries, he tempts, and he says all manner of things to show that you're wrong, that we're wrong in our experience, that we don't know anything of Christ, that we've no grace. But my friends, it's the Lord is in these things when he brings his people into these paths. It's to teach us He brought Daniel into that path, permitted him to go into the lion's den. But look at his love and mercy to Daniel. He stood by him. Every moment that he was in that lion's den, those lions couldn't touch him. No, they couldn't touch him. Nor could the devil and the fire, the fiery furnace, touch the three Hebrews as they were cast into the fire. The Lord didn't prevent them from going in the fire. But he was with them in it. So, my dear friend, if you are in the fires now and the waters, and you feel that you are now forsaken, and these words are the echo of your heart, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" My dear friend, still look to him. Still look to him. See if you can see his hand and feel his hand with you in it now. Ah, you say, "But he shuts out my prayer, my cry." Well, can you give up? "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him." There's faith. The psalmist was brought there. "Hope thou in God." He spoke this. This was all went on in his own heart. How is it with you and I? "Hope thou in God." What? "Now he's forsaken me." Yes, hope thou in him. No hope anywhere else, is there? How is it with a dying soul, my dear friend? When they are brought to their dying hour, "Hope thou in God." Hope thou in God. There's no other way, my friend. However black, however rough the pathway may be, however impossible it may seem to be, "Is anything too hard for me?" the Lord says. Is there anything impossible for him? No. He can do all things. So wait thou upon him, sink or swim. You say, "What do you mean by that, sink or swim?" Well, my dear friends, sometimes the Lord brings you in a pathway, and it is to be the means of taking you to himself. That makes no difference, my friends. That doesn't mean to say your hope's in vain. What can be better for the child of God? To be taken away from this world, to be forever with himself. I know in our natural minds we can't face these things, but when grace is given, my dear friends, what more do we want? The love of Christ is what we want. It's his presence that we want to feel in our hearts, is it not? And what's better if you've had a taste of it? Have you found anything else that's better? You say no. Then, my dear friends, there is nothing better than to be taken to be forever with him. Oh, may the Lord deal mercifully with us each, and prepare us each to stand before his face. And may he sanctify to each the pathway that we each walk in, however deep, mysterious, or painful it may be, he makes no mistakes. What he does is all for the best. May the Lord mercifully bless that which has been of him. For his name's sake, amen.